I'm negative in the positive way, in the productive way. I'm negative because I accept there's an issue. We have issues, but I'm trying to take action. Trying to take action and see what I can do, because if I stay like this right now, it's over. I need to take action. We all need to take action and talk and get together. But this is lack of communication, lack of community sometimes.
This episode is proudly brought to you by Mapper Forward's workshop, It's Time to Become a Coffee Consultant. Learn how to diversify your revenue streams and create freedom from your day job while saying goodbye to that alarm clock forever by becoming a consultant within the coffee industry or directly to consumers who have shifted towards home brewing and home roasting. Protect your income from challenging times in the coffee value chain by taking this course today. Go to mapperforward.coffee/workshops or click the link in the show notes for details. Welcome to the Daily Coffee Pro by Mapper Forward, friends. I'm your host, Lee Safar, and this is episode 2 of a 5-part series with Diego Barahona from Los Pereneos in El Salvador. And Diego, we are talking about the reality of life for coffee producers at the moment. How did we get here? Because it didn't happen overnight. Even though a lot of people are going to say, where did this crisis come from? We're not really in a crisis. There's nothing wrong. Yeah. Everything's going fine. Look, cafes are full. What the fuck are you two talking about? How do we get
here? It's funny because it feels like I started watching a Netflix show on season 5 and I got here. Oh, I like the show, but like I wanted to see what the hell happened in the previous season. And I'm still trying to figure out what the hell is going on.
Let me fill you in, my friend. I was here for the first 5 seasons.
Gotta watch like highlights of each season. That's each single generation of my life.
That's great.
My ancestors. I think like you said, we've just been dozing off.
Yeah.
The way I see, right? I think coffee here, at least in summer, has been highly romanticized. The people are dozing off, but people forgot it's an actual business. Like, you need to run it responsibly. I think it's been too romanticized. And I think that's an issue that I have personally.
I definitely think that exists across the supply chain. You know, people are thinking it's this, it's just going to work. We don't have to understand the intricacies of the business model and figure out why it's broken. Mm-hmm. People work very hard.
Yeah.
But people aren't working hard, in my opinion, at the thing that has led it to be broken, which is that the underlying business models are not working. Coffee producers kept carrying the responsibility of fixing this and kept waiting for people on the consuming end to come back, the coffee roasters, to come and tell them how everything should be done, what's going to sell, what's not going to sell, et cetera, et cetera. And it didn't work.
Yeah. Yeah, didn't work. And I think one of the main issues, how do we get here? Maybe it's like, I think nobody probably has had access to own capital. Like, I think funding has been a big, big issue. That's what I realized. Because I'm going to be honest, like that's one of my limitations. I don't have access to that much capital on my own. I need to borrow money and I need to play with it, you know? When I first got back into the country and I got into the business, I went to the banks with the contracts and all that. Banks, they don't get the business. Sure. They don't understand it and they don't trust in coffee anymore. Because I gave them my contracts. They were for the prices. They were like, yes, if it's real. Why would I lie to you? Why would I come to you? Yeah, I have to. And I'm still young, but back then, 4 years ago, I was even younger. So they didn't take me seriously. They even, it's funny because when I was meeting the bank people, I call them like the executives, they wanted to see my resume, see what kind of person I was. I was like, I don't think I need a resume to handle my own business.
Wow. They mansplained a man.
Yeah, exactly. that's a new thing.
Damn.
Yeah. So I think that's one of the issues how to get here. I think on the production side, with all the issues going on, I think access to capital money has been really, really, really weak. Really, really thin.
Are the people that are buying from you experiencing those same challenges?
I think so. I don't really have a talk with people who buy from us, but I'm pretty sure that people who buy us have access capital with banks. I think they use loans with other banks. And I think that's what I heard. I think most of the exporters, importers, they do that.
It's wild, hey.
So maybe
so you borrow money.
It never stabilized.
Yeah, you borrow money to grow the coffee. They borrow money to buy it off you, and then roasters are borrowing money to build their roasteries and to buy the coffee so that they can hold it enough in stock. Mm-hmm. I wonder who's winning from this supply chain, hey?
I think that's next episode, but we all know making money out of this.
It is the next episode, so we'll keep it for that.
Yeah.
When it comes to the difference between specialty and commercial, what do you think that contributed to how we got here? Because I definitely see that specialty is going somewhere else than commercial. And I'm hearing a lot from coffee producers saying, we don't know whether we should just go to commercial and do it all commercial or whether we should hedge and specialty is going to end up doing better for us.
Yeah, and that's ironic because specialty coffee, which is otherwise specialty, but it was created to separate it from the commercial.
Yeah.
Right. I think that was the umbrella idea of it was, okay, let's get out of this C price market and just create specialty. But nowadays, I've realized and I've experienced it. Each year, it's getting, especially line in the commercial line, I think they're becoming one line again.
Yeah. It feels like it, doesn't
and
it?
And that's why, because pricing issues, people are lowering price in specialty. So why are you going to lower price in specialty? It's a premium product, right? Why are you going to want reference to C price and two, why are you going to treat it like a C price product? So I think the line's getting back again. Like the lines are again intersecting again.
Yeah, there's a lot of people looking for 82s. There's a lot of people looking for 82s, right? And there's a lot of people who are scoring things at an 82 that shouldn't really be an 82 so that they can trick it. Well, not trick, they can justify. You taste the coffee and you're like, there's no fucking way that this is an 82. There's no chance that this is an 82.
Yeah. Yeah, it became some ambiguous, right? It is dangerous because people are scoring 82, maybe 86 coffees, or people are doing the other way, they buy 82 coffees and sell them as 85s, maybe higher. So I think it's a double thing. I think it works both ways, which is also both are very dangerous for the industry. And then farmers are like, okay, what's my incentive? If I'm working hard, investing a lot of money, effort, time into making this farm work, trying to achieve good quality. But if I achieve this quality, it's not going to get remunerated properly or coherently, or they're just going to buy probably one small lot and not the entire thing. Entire production. Because I've noticed, I've seen that the cost, it takes the same amount of money to produce an 86 to an 82 or 83. It's just nature.
Wow.
I've noticed that. As I've had coffees picked from the same part of our farm.
Yeah.
Some of those cup 86, some can cup 84 or 83.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's like, wait a second. So it's not about how much money you put into fertilizer and all that, you can control processing for sure, but there's always the nature factor.
Yeah.
And I think the nature factor hasn't been taken into consideration in many situations in the chain.
Does it feel a little bit like the future is a little uncertain?
Oh yeah, for sure. This year, then it feels really uncertain. We're not even halfway there and it feels very uncertain. So,
yeah, wow. When I think of how we got here, I look at when we started measuring from, right? It's not as though this started becoming a problem from the pandemic. It's not like it started becoming this is from a long time ago. I know that you've been doing this for 4 years, but is this just something that you're seeing, or is this something that you're talking about with other producers? Is everyone talking about this?
Yeah, I went to an event I think it was last Monday, and I met with other producers who I know here in the country, and they're way, way older than me. They have much more experience than me. They've been through it for a long time. Mm-hmm. So they see many things, and we're talking about, and we all hit the same points,
And what were
they? Here's my issue. Like the labor costs are very hard. People are asking for cheaper coffee. Clients are not responding that much. Usually it's communication is very scarce. So that's very scary for us. We don't have like a certainty anymore of like, we can sell the crop this year, you know, all that. But then I was like, okay, so if we all have the same issues and we are working with the same issues, not all are taking action. And that's what's scary. Like people are very negative, but nobody takes action. I'm negative in the positive way, in the productive way. I'm negative because I accept there's an issue. We have issues, but I'm trying to take action.
Mm.
Trying to take action and see what I can do. Because if I stay like this right now, it's over. I need to take action. We all need to take action and talk and get together. But this is lack of communication, lack of community sometimes. I feel like also.
We've been saying on the podcast, and you and I have been talking the last couple of years about how we as a community have been kicking the can down the road for a long time.
Yeah.
And now the road has ended. What do you think are the things that we're now going to have to actually deal with?
Well, one, quality is going to for sure be really scarce now. If you want your quality coffee, it's going to be really scarce and very expensive.
It's going to be.
That's where we're heading.
What did you say? It's going to be scarce and expensive.
It's yeah.
Why? Because of the lack of labor.
Exactly. Yeah. Because I have to this year, and from all that, I'm selling land. I think I'm going to end up selling 40% of the farm for sure. Because it just makes no sense anymore to have that much land and produce coffee. It's too expensive. There's not much incentive anymore in that way. So I realized I need to be more like downscale to scale up later on, maybe years down the road. But right now, the way things are, like, I think it needs to scale down because it just makes no sense. Yeah. And I think my dad would never have done that because he was too attached to me. It's a family heritage thing.
Right.
But I think I came in with a more like cold-minded person. Like, that's a business I need to sell. I need to take action to this. If not, it's not going to be profitable. And I'm going to sell it, one, because it's too expensive, and I need to also pay debt also because I inherit a lot. And that's another issue. I think there's a lot of debt in the sector. I think in production and here in the origin, there's a lot of debt in the industry. That's a big issue also.
Oh, yeah. And that's the thing that seems to be the thing that everybody thought would eventually solve itself because money was supposed to be free or at least very cheap. So people kept borrowing money to pay off debt and
interests.
It just at the time people kept saying to me when I was running Elixir, they're like, just borrow money. Don't do it with your own money, borrow money. And I'm like, this doesn't feel like it's going to be like this forever. And people were saying, honestly, just go do it, Lee. It's going to be the best thing for you. Because money is really, really cheap right now. And then I would say to them, what happens when it's not anymore? Oh, that'll never happen. It's been going like this for 10 years. Well, now we're at a point where it's a real problem.
But that's finally because that's what people are saying about the crisis in 2008. Oh, that the housing markets, they're going to crash. Oh, so Sabres, they're going to crash. And look what happened. So people keep repeating the history repeats itself.
Yeah, in a really pathetic kind of way, right? Like, this feels like it's going to be, I don't know what the term is for this, but this feels like it's going to hold people accountable for everything that they were ignoring in the past. And for some people, that's going to be really dark because they this term toxic positivity, there's a lot of toxic positivity in our industry. Of people who think if they just hope and they will things to get better, they will get better, even though they've been reckless with their behavior. And so I think that we've got a lot of those kinds of debts to pay as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you said it also. think it's gonna be like a Phoenix metaphor here. I think it needs to like crash down and burn and bring. I think we need to push the restart button again because it's got a really out of hand. I think so.
And I'm excited about that, to be honest with you. I think there was a...
It's exciting, yeah.
It is, right? Like you've got a lot longer in this industry than I do. How do you see the future of this industry? Are you excited about it?
I'm excited. I mean, I never saw myself in this position in my life, but I think I developed like a deep love for it, like deep passion for it. And I'm excited where it's gonna go. It's I don't know where. It's uncertain, but it's exciting because I think I'm young. I put ideas with my mom and my sister. I think we're gonna like start to like expand the portfolio. And I think I told you we're gonna invest more in tourism and do that. So it's exciting because we get to do different things, but it's gonna be completely different from what we're taught to. And I think that's one of the issues also. How do you get here? It's been treated the same way for so many years. You never adapted properly.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to deal with it in different ways, the different mentality, different approach. So that's what's really exciting for me. It's kind of like a fresh start for us.
If I'm excited about anything, it's the folks like you who are inheriting the land and deciding to stay on and do really cool shit with it. Because it's not going to be the same industry. With people like you guys running it, it's not going to be the same industry. And you're not afraid to say, yeah, no, we have to sell this land. And the other thing you're not afraid to do is say no to people who are treating you badly. If it doesn't make sense, you'll just say no.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's hard because for me, as a kid, I mean, always, all my life, I've struggled with saying no to people. Mm-hmm. Like, it was... My weak points. Even when you went to a job interview, they were like, "What's your weakest point?" It's like saying no is hard for me. So I learned how to like deal with that, like saying, "Oh, this is not for me."
Yeah,
learning how to send people. Yeah.
In the next episode, folks, we're going to talk about why, as an industry, we're not talking about how broken everything is. This is, to me, a dysfunctional thing, the fact that we're not talking about it. So join us in the next episode and we'll have a chat about that. Peace, love and peanut butter. Have an amazing rest of your day.
I really hope you enjoyed this episode, friends. Please don't forget to show us some love by subscribing, liking, commenting, and most of all, sharing this podcast with your friends. Check the show notes for links, including our sponsors and our Patreon. And stay tuned for more great conversations on the Daily Coffee Pro by Mapper Forward.